Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday morning, March 7, 2024. Great to be with you back from my home state of Michigan, the Great Lakes State, returning last night from Florida. And thanks again to all the wonderful people in the Diocese of Venice and Epiphany Cathedral who welcomed me and Dom with open arms, where we gave two talks Monday night on our book Intimate Graces, and then Tuesday night, I did a film all about moms, wives, and the domestic church, and tied in the story of St. Francis Cabrini and other great saints as well. Speaking of Cabrini, we're going to be talking about this great saint. Her feast day is in December, by the way, if you're just curious. But the movie officially opens tomorrow in theaters, but as Andrew was telling me, my wonderful producer, there's all kinds of other movies or previews opening tonight. So you do have a chance if you want to go tonight, if it's in your area, cabrinifilm.com. But we're going to talk to the one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa for our cultural connections. He's got some great Cabrini-related stories. Of course, he's a Chicago boy, and we know she had a huge influence in that part of the country, as well as other parts of the country and so many parts of the world. So really look forward to talking with Father Mitch on a number of levels, because this movie encompasses so many things. The feminine genius, the immigration issue, the way the Catholic Church should handle it in terms of what the Catechism says about immigration. It doesn't come out and make a political statement, though. It's just the witness there that they give in the movie, I think, is extremely well done for our times. And what happens when you say yes to God? It doesn't mean that when you say yes to God that, you know, that you're going to have, you know, a smooth sailing. Just the opposite, actually. You're going to get a lot of obvious, you know, persecution, and there's going to be challenges, which is, you know, because we have to take up our cross. But the beauty of saying yes and what God can do with that yes, when you push through, when you realize deep down through prayer and discernment, continual prayer and discernment, that God has a particular mission on your life and that this is what you are called to do, and that's the only way you're going to be happy is by following that call. And that you learn from those struggles that you go through. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. There are so many lessons from this film and her life in general. Just to look at this great saint, and again, you know I'm big on the saints, and I just don't think we bring them into our lives enough. There's so many great lessons from this movie, and I love the fact that it's opening, and we'll talk about Father Mitch, or talk with Father Mitch about this as well, that it's opening on, quote-unquote, International Women's Day. My question is, why do we still have an International Women's Day? I mean, there's a lot of questionable background about how it started, connected to communism and socialism, but I'm talking about just the idea of an International Women's Day when so many in the world are pushing gender ideology. That doesn't matter being a man or a woman. They're interchangeable. One day you can identify, another day you can identify this way. So what do we need an International Women's Day for? This is where the media need to raise these questions and connect the dots here, okay? Just saying. Anyhow, I'm really glad it's being released on International Women's Day, because she encompasses all that is the feminine genius. And I do want to let you know that there's a special event that we're taping, myself, Catherine Jean Lopez from National Review, Dr. Pia De Seleni, Sister Josephine Garrett. We are having a discussion about the film. We're taping it this afternoon. Then it is going to be up on the National Review YouTube page later today. So I put out an e-blast about it last night, and then we'll remind you on my Facebook page. But we're taping a discussion on the film. Catherine Jean Lopez will be the host, of course. She is an editor at National Review. Dr. Pia De Seleni, wonderful moral theologian, and the amazing Sister Josephine Garrett. We're going to be talking about the film Cabrini and the Feminine Genius, taping this segment, and then we'll be posting it. So keep an eye out for it. And we'll have all the details again on my Facebook page. And also, if you sign up for my free e-newsletter, you can get that through teresatomeo.com. And then wrapping up a Thursday with Alejandro Monteverde, director of the film Cabrini. So a busy hour for you today, much to discuss. Let's take a look at the weather first and see what's happening, if there are any other storms going on. We have severe thunderstorms possible this afternoon through tonight. This is from southern Kansas to central Texas. Large hail and strong winds will be the primary hazards. Gusty winds and dry conditions continuing. The elevated threat for wildfires in the central and southern high plains. And then we still have critical fire weather conditions expected across the southern high plains for the rest of today. That is a look at the forecast. It is a Thursday. Thank you so much for tuning in to the one, the only EWTN, EWTN.com. And, of course, Ave Maria Radio co-produces this program, AveMariaRadio.net. Let's get started at 5 minutes past hour on a Thursday with the news, as we always do. Well, big news out of Alabama. The governor there, Kay Ivey, signing a GOP proposed bill to protect in vitro fertilization into law. Michael Kastner explains.
Ivey signed the measure Wednesday night, moments after it was officially passed and sent to her, saying that while IVF is complex, she is confident that this legislation will provide the assurances our IVF clinics need. The new law protects providers from lawsuits and criminal prosecution for the damage or death of an embryo during IVF services. It does not, however, address the question of whether an embryo created by IVF should be treated as a child under state law.
Meanwhile, as CatholicNewsAgency.com reports, many pro-life leaders try to prevent that from happening. 13 of the country's leading national pro-life groups did urge in a letter that the governor veto a recently passed bill that would institute broad protections for IVF. IVF is a fertility treatment opposed by the Catholic Church, as CNA explains, because it separates the marriage act from procreation and destroys embryonic human life. The letter was signed by Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America, March for Life Action, Live Action, Students for Life Action, Human Coalition Action, and several other prominent pro-life groups. Catholic News Agency also explaining that Republican Senator Marco Rubio from the state of Florida demanding that Joe Biden protect Catholic churches from the growing number of attacks levied against him since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. In a March 5th letter addressed to the nation's second Catholic president, Rubio citing a Catholic vote tracker that found more than 400 attacks against Catholic churches since May of 2020. The tracker, which was last updated on March 5th, listing numerous examples of property damage. Rubio complaining in his letter that the acts seldom result in any consequences for the offenders, and he demanded that Biden make investigating and fully prosecuting the incidents an urgent priority for his administration. He alleged the administration has failed to address this problem adequately. In New York, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman is suing the state attorney general, Letitia James, over her effort to block his transgender athletic ban. Last month, Blakeman, a Republican, issuing the first in the nation executive order banning biological males from taking part in women's sports on county property.
If you're a biological male and you identify yourself as a female, you can play against other biological males or you can play in a co-ed league. Transgender athletes have many avenues to compete. So we're not precluding anybody. We're not denying anybody.
James, a Democrat, then sent a cease and desist letter stating Blakeman must rescind the order. She claims the order violates the state's anti-discrimination laws. Joe Biden delivering his State of the Union address this evening. Meanwhile, as Mitch Evans tells us, a Georgia congressman will be doing what he can, he says, to raise awareness about the Lakeham Riley murder case, a woman allegedly killed by an immigrant who entered the country illegally several years ago.
When the president makes his State of the Union address on Thursday night, there will be an open seat at the U.S. Capitol building to honor the nursing student who was brutally murdered on the UGA campus last month. Athens 10th District Representative Mike Collins invited Riley's parents to attend the annual speech, but they declined. So Collins wants the president to, quote, see an empty seat in the gallery that memorializes those who are no longer with us because of his open border, end quote. The 22-year-old Riley was allegedly killed by Jose Ibarra, a man from Venezuela who ICE says illegally entered the country near El Paso, Texas in 2022.
The House is passing the first funding package to avert a government shutdown. Lawmakers passing the bill yesterday, which will keep parts of the government, including the agriculture, commerce, justice, and transportation departments, open through September. The package now heads to the Senate, where they will have until tomorrow to pass it to avoid a partial government shutdown. Scott Pringle tells us it appears it's looking very likely it will be a Donald Trump-Joe Biden rematch in the race for the White House after the results of the Super Tuesday votes. Scott Pringle again tells us, well, not everybody on the street is happy about that.
After Republican Nikki Haley dropped out of the race, some folks are just shaking their heads, not looking forward to 8 months of Donald Trump and Joe Biden going at it for a second time.
It's very disappointing that we're stuck with these two. I think there's better choices out there.
It doesn't intrigue me. It upsets me that we are at a state in this country, that these are the decisions we have to make.
I really don't know what I'm going
to
do.
Polls show at the moment Trump with the lead. It remains to be seen if Nikki Haley supporters migrate over to Trump or go to Biden or just stay home on Election Day.
Supreme Court hearing oral arguments, meanwhile, in former President Trump's immunity case that will happen on April 25th. Trump appealing a lower court ruling that denied his claim of having immunity from criminal prosecution in his federal election interference case. Special counsel Jack Smith's case against Trump is currently paused as a high court determines whether a former president can face charges for actions while in office. If it's ruled that the case against Trump can move ahead, then it may mean the trial would start long before November's presidential election, Trump becoming the only remaining GOP candidate, as you heard yesterday, after former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley ended her campaign. And Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says former President Trump does have his support in his bid for the White House. When asked about his endorsement, McConnell stressing he always said he would support whomever is the GOP nominee.
On February the 25th, 2021, shortly after the attack on the Capitol, I was asked a similar question, and I said I would support the nominee for president, even if it were the former president.
In a statement following Haley's decision to suspend her campaign, the Kentucky Republican saying it's abundantly clear that Trump earned the support of many Republican voters to be our nominee for president. McConnell noting he and Trump worked together on a number of issues during his time as president. Congressman Adam Schiff and former Dodger Steve Garvey are running for the California U.S. Senate. On the heels of his primary win, the Republican baseball legend said he's going to stick to what got him to this point in his life.
We're not going to do much differently. Look where we've come in 5 months as compared to 25 years for my competitor. Career politician. His policies have failed the people.
With mail-in ballots left to be counted, the Burbank Democrat and the Republican baseball legend have garnered about 33% of the vote each. Irvine Congresswoman Katie Porter is a distant third. The Texas Panhandle, which has been touched by wildfires, is now ground zero for the state's cattle industry. Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller is saying that at least 3,600 cows have died, and that number is growing. He also added over 500 homes and barns have been destroyed as well. Lisa Taylor explains investigators now say Boeing still has not turned over important records for the probe of the January door plug blowout incident.
According to the National Transportation Safety Board, investigators don't know who in the Boeing assembly line removed and reinstalled the door plug on the 737 MAX. The agency's chairwoman said so, testifying before a Senate committee on the Hill. Jennifer Homendy noted the NTSB has requested the documents numerous times over the past few months.
Delta Airlines raising its checked bag fee. The airline announcing the fee for a first and second checked bag will go up by $5 for most domestic and short international flights. Travelers will have to pay $35 for the first checked bag, $45 for the second. Those flying first class or customers with status perks can still get complimentary checked bags. Delta adding the move will help it deal with rising industry costs. And Brian Shook tells us credit card late fees are now capped at $8.
It's a part of a larger initiative by the Biden administration to get rid of junk fees. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau estimates the new regulation will save families more than $10 billion a year. It applies to large credit card issuers with more than a million accounts, which represent more than 95% of total outstanding credit card debt. This comes as the White House tries to show it's taking action to help families with the high cost of living.
I want to let you know before we take a break, or let you know what's coming up in the next 45 minutes of this program at 13 minutes past the hour on a Thursday. Check out this beautiful book by our friend Marcus Grody, Guideposts to the Journey Home. For over 25 years, I love that show, the Journey Home program at EWTN enjoying immense success. Marcus Grody sharing personal stories of conversion, hope, and renewal to help readers stay close to Jesus and the church amid the storms in our lives, with some of the show's finest interviews, including answers to real-life questions posed by viewers. Available now by Catholic and shop at EWTNRC.com. Again, Guideposts to the Journey Home by our friend Marcus Grody, EWTNRC.com. It is a Thursday, time for Cultural Connections with Father Mitch Pacwa. This time, though, the segments are going to deal with Father Mitch's connection to Mother Cabrini and the Windy City. He'll explain up next. And then we'll be interviewing the director of the film Cabrini. Alejandro Monteverde joins us as we wrap up a Thursday morning edition. We'll be right back.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I don't like looking back. I prefer to look forward and keep moving forward. There's plenty to cover. I do a lot of research and try to dig out the bits and pieces of a life or of an agenda that people don't want to talk about.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo. Tonight, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Ave Maria Radio invites you to feast on the joy of fasting this Lenten season and all year long. Fast from judging. Feast on loving. Fast from noise. Feast on silence. Fast from differences. Feast on unity. Fasting is a part of true Christian life. It liberates us from this world as we grow closer to Christ.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Yeah, this movie opening up tomorrow nationwide, Cabrini, and there's a special preview in some cities tonight, is really an opportunity for us to take a much closer look at the great saints that we have in the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. And there's so many of them. And in the case of Cabrini, it's pretty close to us in terms of time-wise, what she did in the early 1900s with the Italian immigrants and other immigrants and all the different institutions and schools and hospitals that she's responsible for, 67 in total. And someone who knows a great deal about her actual work and the result of her saying yes to God is our very own Father Mitch Pacwa. So, Father, you've got a Cabrini connection to the Windy City, right? Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Yeah. Well, you know, Chicago had two housing projects for the poor named after her. The very first public housing project built in the 1930s was named after Mother Cabrini, just about block and a half away from the hospital where she worked.
Wow.
On the near west side. Cabrini Hospital is there on Racine Street and right across from Our Lady of Pompeii Church. Mm. And it was a large Italian community of immigrants. And you know, she worked there among many other places. And then they also built a second one in more modern time, I think in the 50s. It was called Cabrini Green. And that became infamous because it became a very high crime area. But still, the respect for her in Chicago was great. Well, Mother Cabrini has her hospital just down the street from the Jesuit parish. The Jesuit parish, Holy Family, was built in the 1850s by Father Arnold Damon. And if you are a Chicagoan, you know Damon Avenue, a long street that goes the length of the city, because he was such a key figure in the city. And then after the Chicago fire, during the fire, he had prayed and promised Our Lady that if the church and school survived, that he would have perpetual lights before her icon, and they're still there.
Wow.
And so because the fire stopped a block away from the church, and then he used the church for a hospital. Now, that was before Mother Cabrini came to Chicago. When she came And the reason I mention all this about the local Jesuit parish and then our school, St. Ignatius School, which then all, that also morphed into Loyola University and all that. Mother Cabrini used to go to the Jesuits for financial help on a regular basis. And the rector would, one time he saw her coming down the sidewalk, knew what she was going to look for. So he hid under his desk. Because the school didn't have a lot of money to begin with either. I mean,
he hid under his desk?
An immigrant school. He hid under the desk. And she told his secretary, not asked, but told her, probably having a womanly saint's intuition that where he was or something close to it. And she said, well, I'll just go sit in his office. After she sat there for a while, he took out his handkerchief and waved a white flag and gave her the money she needed. She was
wow.
The sisters also used to tell me that, like, you know, so many Catholic apostles, I mean, including EWTN, it happened more than once that they were out of money, but not out of debt collectors.
Mm-hmm.
So they told us how she would pray over the desk and then open the drawer and there would be money in there.
Wow.
And, you know, I said, you know, I know that neighborhood. Is she just one more of many counterfeiters? I mean, this, by the way, was the neighborhood where Al Capone had started before he moved to Cicero. But when he was still working his way up into the mob, he lived down by Racine and Taylor. And it had a bad reputation for a long time, much deserved, I might add.
Mm.
Now it's changed considerably for the better. But, you know, it was a rough, rough area. But nobody messed with the nuns.
Mm.
That was for sure. And so she went everywhere and did what she had to do. And I think that's a very important element.
There's a beautiful summary of her work on the Shrine's website, the National Shrine in Chicago. It's CabriniNationalShrine.org on Lakeview Avenue in Chicago, and it talks about her ministry and what she did and how hard she worked. And the movie, I know you haven't seen it yet, but the movie really displays the struggles that she had, both not only from within the church, because they admired her work and they loved what she was doing, but they wanted her to stay up in Lombardy because she was doing such a good job there. They didn't want her to leave Italy, but then the Pope thought about it. First he said no, then he changed his mind because he was getting all these letters from Italian immigrants of how they were struggling, so he sent her over, as you know, to New York. There's so many lessons that she teaches us, especially about determination and not giving in when you know that God has called you to a special mission.
Yeah, well, this is typically one of the things that happens with nuns who are, you know, well aware that the Lord has called them to a mission. Having known, loved, and worked for such a nun,
also have to be
40
Italian.
Years ago.
Right.
You know, last Thursday was 40 years that I'd started,
right.
I met Mother. And so, you know, having seen that in action, that combination of the firm determination, sometimes a little, more than a little pinch of Italian temper, but absolute commitment to doing what she did for Jesus. That was something that you see in people, in saints, like Mother Cabrini, and I certainly saw that in Mother Angelica. And I think the movie, you know, and this one, I've heard people criticize the movie that there's not enough about her prayer life and such. Well, you know, you can't do everything
right
in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great deal to get a woman who is a saint, the first American citizen to be canonized, and tell that story that would otherwise be stifled. I don't know if you remember this. When Mayor de Blasio was in New York as mayor, his wife was put in charge of a commission to honor more women. There were too many statues of men in the parks, and they wanted more statues of
women. I remember this story.
One woman that was soft, when they took a vote, number one woman was Mother Cabrini. But Mrs. de Blasio would not allow it because she's a Catholic and a saint. Mm-hmm. I think that, remember that kind of attempt to suppress someone who, by every standard, simply served the people. And the people of New York, whether they were Jewish or Catholic or non-believers, knew what she did for their city and the poor of their city. And they wanted to honor her. Silly secularists try to suppress it. This movie brings it out.
Amen. More with Father Mitch Pacwa when we return, all about St. Frances Cabrini, our cultural connection for today, and her life and even this film making a big difference already. We'll be right back.
What was Jesus' chief mission on earth? It was, the Catholic Catechism tells us, to achieve his Father's will, God's plan of salvation in the fullness of time. Jesus did this by preaching the good news, the arrival of the reign of God, which had been promised through the ages in Scripture. To fulfill the Father's will, Jesus ushered in the kingdom of heaven on earth. The kingdom is visible in the word and worship of Christ and in his presence in the church. The seed and beginning of the kingdom are the little flock Jesus gathered around him, the disciples and the 12 apostles with Peter as the head. They are the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem. The church is born primarily as a result of Christ's total self-giving. The origin and growth of the church are symbolized by the blood and water that flowed from the crucified Christ's side. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
Cultural Connections every Thursday right here on Catholic Connection on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Father Mitch Pacwa, of course, every week. Last week marking 40 years. Amazing, amazing ministry he's had and continues to have. Thanks be to God. So, Father, I love the saints. I actually wrote a book about female saints. But Frances Cabrini, I mean, her life, certainly no picnic. She went back and forth on that transatlantic crossing so many times because she had to appeal to the Pope. She had to appeal to the Italian Senate. And she was just undeterred because she knew, and the beautiful quote, and there's actually books coming out, one particular book that I endorsed with that title. Sophia and Ignatius are involved in that production. It's called World Too Small. But she said, "The world is too small for what I intend to do." And her sheer determination, when you watch what she went through, to me, that is such a statement about truly having faith and the witness of what she was doing. I mean, remember that old Christian hymn, that old Catholic hymn, "They Shall Know We Are Christian by Our Love"? That comes out throughout the movie.
Yeah. And, you know, it's something that she didn't just show in what we recognize as large Italian centers like New York and Chicago, but or San Francisco, but she went to the Italian coal miners, and whose you know, many of them were dying in these, not coal mines, but the miners, because in Colorado they were mining silver, gold, and other.
Well, Yash also went to Scranton for that reason, too, because they were the mining
exactly.
there. Yeah,
there mm-hmm. were the coal miners. And then she was down in Peru and in other parts of South America. She went all over when she said the world wasn't big enough, she went all over the place. And it wasn't touring. It was serving those who were in need. Mm-hmm. And this was an absolutely tremendous reality on her part. So I think we very much need to understand that and see that this is precisely what we mean by someone who is some of our politicians have liked to say, a Matthew 25 Christian.
Right.
You know, that,
right.
you know, they saw Jesus in the poor and the hungry. Mm-hmm. And this cannot be underestimated.
Yeah, and I think it's important to understand that she believed in making sure that she was not only meeting their physical needs, obviously feeding them, clothing them, housing them, educating them, but she gave them fish, but then she taught them how to fish as well, which was clear based on the people whose lives she touched. We're talking with Father Mitch Pacwa this morning, of course, from EWTN, regarding the impact of Mother Cabrini. Father, the impact of saying yes to God, I did not know until I was prepping for, I saw the film twice now, but working with the team and getting background information in order for me to cover the story accurately and doing some research. And it just got me. It really, really brought tears to my eyes when I learned that Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Calcutta, was inspired to do what she did because of Mother Cabrini.
Yeah. Well, see, this also brings about another reality of the Christian faith. Saints make saints.
Saints make saints.
Know, that a very little known saint outside the Jesuits is brother Alphonsus Rodriguez. He was a Jesuit brother. He's now Saint Alphonsus Rodriguez. He was a porter. That is, he sat at the door and answered the people that came there. Sometimes it was dukes trying to talk to their sons at the school, or it was the poor begging for some bread. And he treated everybody like Christ. He became, one boy used to go and hang out with him at the door and get spiritual direction from him and guidance as he was going through the school. That boy became St. Peter Claver.
Wow.
Who became the apostle to the slaves in Colombia. And, you know, you go on and see how saints make saints. You know, St. Francis Xavier was a disciple of St. Ignatius Loyola. Last night we talked about this, St. John of Avila, who was a diocesan priest, became the spiritual director of St. Francis Borgia. And St. Francis Borgia and St. John of Avila became the spiritual directors of St. Teresa of Avila. Mm-hmm. And then St. John of the Cross. I mean, this is something that is what changes society. And that's why, you know, I've been hearing confessions now for 48 years as a priest. And, you know, the sins are pretty much the same. People are all embarrassed about, you know, confessing their sins. Don't do that this Lent. Confess your sins, because I can assure you, you say the same things that all the other sinners say. But you have to say it for yourself.
You have to say it for yourself.
The sinners are not creative. But the saints, they're amazing. They're amazing. The saints are always the most creative people. Sinners are not that creative. Some of them are meaner than others, but they're not creative. They do the same thing the other sinners have done. So don't be afraid that you're going to scandalize us priests. I started hearing confessions on Skid Row in Chicago. Mm. You got nothing.
Well, that statement, though, Father, saints make saints, is incredible. Even if you think about, for example, St. Clair and St. Francis, right?
Yeah. Exactly. It goes on and on.
Yeah.
And you just see the
I got another one for you. St. Teresa of Avila and St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. She became St. Teresa Benedicta. Edith Stein became Catholic because she read her autobiography and said, this is truth. And then she becomes a Catholic, and then she becomes a Carmelite, and then she becomes a saint.
Matter of fact, I just got an invitation to go to her hometown, which is Wrocław in Poland, and to speak at their National Eucharistic Congress.
Beautiful.
And I want to do a documentary about her, a video about St. Teresa Benedicta. And so these are the kinds of things that we can see over and over again. And again, it's not just the live ones touching disciples who become live saints, like Peter with St. Mark and St. Paul discipling St. Luke and on and on. But it's also, people reading them centuries later. The Holy Spirit can work through the insights and wisdom of the saints and spark within us a conversion. So again, don't bore me by just staying a sinner. Become interesting by becoming a saint. Mm-hmm. Those are the real interesting people, the saints of the same. Just get to confession this Lent, repent of your sins, and seek out saints that you sort of resonate with and try to imitate them. There's a saint for everything.
Yep.
You know, there's a patron saint for hunters, St. Hubert, but there's also a patron saint for animal rights advocates.
And even a patron saint for mechanics. And I found that out this morning with my friend. She's a new Catholic. She was having car trouble. She says, is there a patron saint for mechanics and car trouble? I looked it up. St. Eugelius. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. Father, great discussion. I can't wait to hear your reaction to the film. I'm sure you're going to love it. Father Mitch Pacwa, always inspiring and educational, uplifting with our cultural connection segments right here on Catholic Connection. The director of the movie Cabrini, Alejandro Monteverde, joins us up next. Stay tuned.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
Some great people have shown respect for God. Can I read you a little quotation from Albert Einstein, who many times showed a great respect for religion and was one of the great admirers of Pope Pius XII for his stand against the Holocaust during the Second World War. Einstein wrote, "The fairest thing we can experience is the mysterious, is the fundamental emotion that stands at the cradle of all true art and science, a knowledge of the existence of something we can't penetrate, of the manifestations of the profoundest reason and the most radiant beauty, which are only accessible to our minds in their most elementary form. It is this knowledge and this emotion that constitute the truly religious attitude." Oh my, so beautifully said.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
If you've ever bought a plant at a garden center, you know most flowers and vegetables require at least 6 hours a day of direct sun. Sure, you can plant them in a shady spot without killing them, but it's not like they're going to thrive if you do. Well, researchers say that to really thrive, most families need 10 to 15 hours of working, playing, talking, and praying together every week. That's why family time is the foundation of the liturgy of domestic church life. If your family isn't getting enough time to connect, then it might be time to rearrange your schedule. You don't need to cancel everything that you're doing, but start scheduling regular appointments for family meals, prayer, and recreation a few months out, gradually building up to a healthier lifestyle. To learn more about living the liturgy of domestic church life, check out our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
From the archives, this is the wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I don't know if news is news anymore. Do you think it is? When you hear that they're going to clone a human being, you know, it's hard enough to put up with some people, let alone two of them. We seem to glorify sin, grievous sin these days, see. But we say that the sin is worth it to do good. Now, that doesn't make any sense, does it? the abortion clinics sell the little fetus $600, $700, $800, $900 a piece. First we murder the child and then we sell it. For what? Oh, well, it's going to cure an old woman. Well, you just killed a young one. True love is the best gift of all.
For more about Mother Angelica, visit EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It's 40 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Thursday. Thanks for tuning in to EWTN. Don't you just love the wisdom of Mother Angelica? I love those little clips. And what an amazing perspective and insight she had. And I know she's praying for us. All right, so we're working on getting Alejandro Monteverde on with us. We are having some phone issues, but he is going to be calling in. In the meantime, I forgot to mention, or did I mention it? I can't remember. It's all coming together. So I am taping this afternoon, very excited to be invited to this. I am taping a special session with Catherine Jean Lopez, Dr. Pia de Saleni, a moral theologian, and a wonderful sister, Sister Josephine Garrett, who's a very popular speaker. She's speaking at the Eucharist Congress. She spoke at Focus. And we are doing a panel discussion on Cabrini. So we're taping it this afternoon, and then Catherine with National Review is putting it on their YouTube page right after that. So I'll have it on my Facebook page, but later today, there will be a discussion with us, all these ladies, these Catholic ladies, talking about the incredible film Cabrini, which, of course, opens tomorrow nationwide. And you can just go to the National Review website for more information, as well as my Facebook page at Mrs. Teresa Tamio. Alejandro, so great to talk to you, and it was so nice to meet you a couple of weeks ago in person in Philadelphia. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was...
I'm in the other side, so over here. I think the sun is coming out.
Thanks for getting up so early. I appreciate it. So let's talk a little bit about what's on your mind. I just loved being at that premiere in Philadelphia, and part of my favorite part of the evening was actually the Q&A afterwards, which was phenomenal. What does it mean to you now as a director to finally see this movie out there officially across the country in the theaters tomorrow?
I mean, I would dare to say that this is a miracle. You know, for a movie about a saint, about Mother Cabrini, to be able to have a wide release, to be able to be exposed to a mainstream audience, it's nothing short from a miracle. And I believe that Mother Cabrini, I dare to say, the Mother Cabrini is truly behind this film, because there's been miracle after miracle all the way to Andrea Bocelli coming in and doing a song for the film on the last minute. Literally a month ago, that song was not in the movie.
Really?
So, yes. Yeah, so it's been an incredible journey. I'm not going to lie. It's been ups and downs. It's been a very challenging journey because of the nature of the movie. You know, it's not what, you know, people in the industry might think that the audiences want to watch. However, we've seen it. You know, the reviews are incredible, and the reaction from the audience is beyond incredible.
Mm-hmm. That's what I noticed. And when you opened it up to question and answer after the Philadelphia premiere, and of course, Cristiano, who plays Mother Cabrini, was there, and David Morris, who plays the Archbishop of New York, yourself and Leo Severino and others involved in the film, of course, Eustace Wolfington, the executive producer, the people, the response from the people when they were getting ready to ask their questions and they're passing the mic around, each person that night was just so moved. And one woman didn't even have a question. She just said, "This has just inspired me so much, and it's epic." And that's the thing. And David Morse that night was talking about he's been involved in so many other movies and been to many premieres, but no other film in which he's been involved has resulted in that kind of inspiration from the audience. So she is having such an impact, this movie, Cabrini, and this saint is having such an impact, I think, beyond probably what she even expected.
Yes. I mean, yesterday I saw somebody sent me a review from Father, I'm really bad with names. Here, I'll tell you really quick, because it was Father Mike Smith.
Oh, Mike Smith, yeah. Uh-huh, yep, Father Mike Smith, great priest. Mm-hmm.
And he says something really interesting. He said, I took the movie and I wanted to see it on the chapel. And he took it to see it on the chapel and he was watching the movie. And he says he just started crying through the entire film. And he doesn't know why. And I do think that the movie has that power to speak to you personally. I have had so many people come to me and share their own personal battles. I mean, who doesn't have a battle?
Right.
I think the only people that does not have a battle are those that have moved to a better life.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you're alive, you're going to face a battle, any kind, a disease, a divorce, an addiction, depression, you name it, financial struggles, health depression, whatever it is. And this movie really inspires you to keep fighting, you know, to fight until you can no more.
Yeah.
And, you know, inspired myself, you know, as a filmmaker, you know, making a film like this. It's the challenge, the mountain was way too high. You know, a couple of times we were running out of oxygen for many reasons. And just to see it, that tomorrow is coming out in theaters. Now, we are coming out against massive films again, like Dune and, you know, these big franchise films that have hundreds of millions of dollars for marketing. So it's very important that this opening weekend we do well, because if we don't, it's just a very simple math. If you don't do well on the opening weekend, they start kicking you out of the theaters.
Yeah,
so it's very important that the people come out to see it this weekend. It's the most important, because if we perform this weekend, then we can stay in theaters for a long time.
Yeah, and people can go to CabriniFilm.com to find, or Angel Studios to find out where it's playing. But it is, and how many theaters? Isn't it over 2,500 now, Alejandro?
No, I think we are reaching over 3,000.
Oh, great.
We're like 3,200.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And the goal is to get to 4,000. So that would only happen. This weekend it's critical. Critical. That's how Son of Freedom was able to do so well, because our opening weekend was really strong. And we just, you know, pray and hope that we can open strong.
Now, well, it's such a well-done movie. I want to get to that in a second, but I'll just remind folks, we're speaking with Alejandro Monteverde, director of Cabrini, CabriniFilm.com, and of course you know him from his great work. He's a Mexican filmmaker best known for director, writer, and producer of the huge hit Sound of Freedom and the 2006 film Bella, which won the People's Choice Award at the Toronto International Film Festival. He's got a long background, obviously, in film and media, and just so dedicated to promoting films that are quality, but also that are not going to attack his faith or our faith in any single way. What I thought was really well done, well, first of all, the acting was fantastic, and that's super important, because when you're trying to attract not just Catholics and other Christians, but you're trying to attract a big audience, this is the beauty of what we know to be the truth about who we are as a dignity of the human person. It has to be real life. It has to be. It can't be corny or silly. Or people are even Christians will turn away from that. I mean, some of the people who've done films in the past, God love them, trying to do a good thing. But I can remember, Alejandro, one time being on a plane on the way to a speaking engagement and watching this particular film. It was a Christian film. Oh, it's a great movie. It's a great movie. And I actually took my headphones off in frustration as a media person, saying, "This is just so corny. Nobody's going to believe it." And this movie is so real. I mean, and the acting is excellent, but it's very real, and so many people can identify on so many different levels.
Yes, I mean, and that's the most important thing, because I like to make movies for everybody, and I like to make movies, you know, we're all human beings, we're all people that, you know, are struggling with any kind of different pains, and Mother Cabrini, her life, she wasn't just talking to a particular group of people. She was talking to the human being. If you're a human being and you were in need, she will go out of her way to figure out a way of how to give you a hand. And that, to the end, to me, her life, her whole life was a prayer in itself. And that, to me, is the most powerful prayer. It's your life.
Right.
You know, you can be on your knees all day long, but not really doing any impact into the world, and that's also a really good way of praying. But there's another way of praying, which is actually doing and making your faith come out and build bridges to better the life of others, and that's what she did.
Well, it's a corporal and spiritual works of mercy.
Every no and turn into a one.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a corporal and spiritual works of mercy in action. And it's frustrating because I'm sure you've heard this as a director, that there are some people saying there weren't enough, and Father Mitch Pacwa and I were just talking about this in the previous segment, there weren't enough scenes in there about prayer and her life. And but the whole thing is a prayer.
And you know what is the, you know what is, yeah, but you know what is the funny thing? Is that the film, you know, grabs you so much that they don't see them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a lot of prayer in
there
the
is.
Movie.
Yeah.
And there is one, I mean, there's three big scenes. There's one where she holds hands with everybody and they're praying Latin.
Yeah.
And they hold the camera for a while. And, you know, they one of the most powerful prayers is the sign of the cross. And you see him like 8 or 9 times in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Then two, what does a nun do if she spent over 10 hours in a church? You know, when Victoria, who's played by Romana, comes down and finds her in the church and the sun is coming out, that means she was there for over 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you also everything. You know, and I do think that a prayer, seeing somebody praying, it's not part of the format of making a movie. The same thing, and I say this jokingly, but also you didn't see her, you know, showering. And that was me hitting shower. It's the prayer is something that is so personal that, you know, even in the Bible says you do it in your room, you do it in your private time, you don't pray in front of people. And that is something that it's very, and then she quotes the Bible. You
right.
know, I can do all things in King's
Philippians. Right. Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
There is a thing that is this one too many times, you know, and then her whole life is a prayer. And then at the end, you know, ends with her canonization and her, you know, when they made her a saint and her burial, you know, it's like, so it's a lot of the times I just feel that when a common, like, and I'm not saying this with any judgment, but it's sometimes it's, you can't, it's very hard to please everybody.
You can't, it's impossible. You cannot please everybody. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually, if I would have put her to pray on her knees for like maybe 5 minutes in the movie, then the next question would be, well, we didn't see her take the Eucharist. And then it's just going to go on and on. So at one point, it's, you know, we do our best. We do a movie. I wanted to celebrate a life that she was inspired us to live for others. You know, how many I leave the movie sometimes when I watch her and I realize how much I complain and how much I'm not helping the need. You know, for me, it's just becoming a normal. It's just normal for me to drive around and see a homeless person sleeping in tents and I don't stop. And I think that's wrong. And when I look at the movie, I look at myself, I'm like, should I stop? Should I help? Should I, you know, of course I can help. You know, if he's not with money, help with human dignity. Ask him their name, their last name. Where are they from? You know, spend a little time. I mean, but now we're getting so used to here in America, just these tents are just popping everywhere. And it's homelessness is just growing by, you know, so rapidly. And this movie should inspire us to also go out and do it different. Mother Teresa said something that is really interesting. It said, look, because they were asking her, how could they help the kids of Calcutta? And she says, no. Help the homeless that lives in the corner of your house. Start right there.
Yep, yep.
Don't lose
and that's
to
so
what
true.
You're going to do around the world.
Right, and that's so true. And I think everybody can always be a critic, but why not look at this? And I totally disagree with their comments, by the way. I agree with Father Mike Schmitz, because that's a response I had as an Italian-American who's a granddaughter of immigrants on both sides of my family. This film is so powerful on so many levels with so many issues, but especially the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And what one person can do when they say yes to God. I mean, Mother Cabrini influenced Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Calcutta. I mean, come on. Great work, Alejandro. God bless you. We're going to get the word out there again, cabrinifilm.com. Alejandro Monteverdi, director of the movie Cabrini, which opens tomorrow nationwide. We'll be right back.
EWTN Radio is seeking a dynamic radio producer to join the EWTN Radio team in Irondale, Alabama. The right candidate will be a passionate, multi-skilled, talented professional who can manage and direct all aspects of producing world-class programming and play an integral part in Mother Angelica's mission. If this is you or someone you know, email a resume and cover letter, including salary requirements, to humanresources@ewtn.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Talking to my producer during the break about how excited I am about this movie. Anyhow, thanks for tuning in and pray for this film. And as Alejandro Monteverdi, the director, said, we are the underdog here, but so was David, and we know the end of that story. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Friday. A domani. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.